Well, I'd like to start the message with a visual aid. Seems like that can help us. Obviously, the title of that song is Don't Blink. The title of this message is Don't Blink. I'll get to the purpose, the theme behind the message today. But I want to start off with giving you a visual aid of this distance. My wingspan is about 77 inches. So if I bring it in a little bit, we got about 72 inches represented in this, which would be equivalent of 2 yardsticks end to end. So just imagine that if this distance represents a lifetime, 72 years, every inch represents 1 year of life. Well, that doesn't seem very big, and it's not. Life doesn't last a long time, but this is 72 inches or 72 years. Now then, if we were to take this distance and start at the front of the building and go to the back, you could get several lifetimes laid out just in this distance that we can see. But what if we were to take that distance, life is short, and laid it from Richmond to Terre Haute on I-70? How many of these could you get? I don't know. I didn't do the math. Take it across the United States. Take it from here to the moon. And really, there's so much more beyond the moon. That represents eternity. So here's the thing that I want you to remind yourself of today and in the days to come. Life is short. Better enjoy it. Eternity is long. Better prepare for it. Okay? We already heard the song Don't Blink by Kenny Chesney. That was released in 2007, so it's been out for a while. You've heard the lyrics sung, but let me read the lyrics to you, starting with the first part. And again, these lyrics, you'll catch on. It's an interview of a man that's 102 years old. This person says, I turned on the evening news and saw an old man being interviewed, turning 102 today. They asked him, what's the secret to life? He looked up from his old pipe and laughed and said, all I can say is, don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old. You take a nap and you wake up and you're 25. And your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Well, I can actually relate to that last part of those phrases in the song. Jan and I met in high school. It was the beginning of my junior year, the beginning of her freshman year. And then after 5 years of dating, we were actually married in the Kennard Friends Church where we just came from. And that was over 48 years ago. Well, the song continues with this interview of the old man on TV as he says this. Don't blink. You just might miss your babies growing up like mine did, turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, your better half of 50 years is there in bed, and you're praying that God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think, so don't blink. Our son was born in 1983. We blinked, and today's 42. And we blinked again, and Elizabeth and Ross have a daughter, Vivi, who is almost 16. So I can relate. And then the other part of that last part of the verses I just read is something I would have thought sounded morbid years ago. But the line is, next thing you know, your better half of 50 years is there in bed and you're praying God takes you instead. While I hope Jan and I have many more years to live together, we actually have had recent conversations about the other being left behind in death. We've talked about things like, what would their surviving spouse do? Where would they live? Are the finances adequate for their surviving spouse left behind? And then, which one could better deal with the grief of losing the other one? The lyrics continue. It says, the fellow that's watching this says, I was glued to my TV when it looked like he looked at me and said, best start putting first things first. Because when your hourglass runs out of sand, you can't flip it over and start again. Well, that line reminded me of an old soap opera that my mom used to watch when I was a kid. It sounds like you've heard of it. The Days of Our Lives. It ran from 1965 to 2022. And the show always opened with the narrator saying this: like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Now let's go to commercial. As the lyrics go on, he says, take every breath God gives you for what it's worth. Don't blink. Take every breath God gives you for what it's worth. Don't blink. And then the song ends with these words. So I've been trying to slow it down. I've been trying to take it in this here today, gone tomorrow world we're living in. Don't blink. I turned 70 in October, and I agree with the fellow elderly people I knew in my life years ago who said, the older you get, the faster time seems to go. And if you're in your 60s or 70s, 80s, 90s, you could identify with that for sure. Now, these kids that are back here, they have no idea. When they hear adults say that, it's like right over their head. Even you guys, you can't imagine when you're teenagers that life goes faster the older you get. Now, that's the serious way of saying it, but I recently caught this that's both serious and funny a way of thinking about it. Life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. So the next time you are going, you'll be able to remember this sermon, I am sure. Okay, to the meat of the message. As Christians, we believe that life starts at the moment of conception. And we measure life in weeks, months, years, decades, and for some, centuries. In fact, my father-in-law, Jan's dad, lived to be 100 years, 6 months, and 10 days. But then at the other end of the spectrum are those pregnant mothers who've lost a baby during miscarriage. Yet even that life can be measured. The message today is about life, and specifically about the brevity of life, be it days or be it decades. And it's not just my message, it's the message of the Bible. So let's look at 5 scriptures that makes the point clear. And I'll start with James chapter 4. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we're going to stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. I wanted to re-highlight that last part of verse 14. Your life is like my life. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. It's good to have goals, but goals can disappoint us if we leave God out of them. Why make plans as though God does not exist when he holds the future in his hands? I bet you know the song. I bet the kids back there know the song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. If kids can understand it, get the concept, maybe we should too. A good planning without considering God can lead to frustration. And good planning starts with asking some questions, maybe things like this. What would I like to be doing 10 years from now? What would I like to be doing a year from now? What would I like to be doing tomorrow? All that takes planning. Now then, here's another question to ask. How will I react if God steps in and rearranges my plans? There's a verse I leaned on, and I have leaned on it over and over the last few decades. It's from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. It says this: we can make our plans, and we should. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. My plan was to continue working in the insurance industry, where I was a corporate trainer. I'd been in the industry for over 30 years, and I just thought I would probably work till I'm 70 years old and retire from there, get my maximum Social Security. I had it all figured out. But at age 56, the company I was working for, Liberty Mutual, got rid of my job and the jobs of a few hundred other people in their 50s. I was 56. And so everything changed. And I've told the majority of you know the story where God called me into the ministry. He had been calling me, and I saw no way to do it. And then when he took away my job, it's like, okay, here we go. Ministry was not my plan, but was part of God's plan. My steps changed, and I'm thankful that they did. Now, we should plan ahead, but we must hold our plans in our hand loosely. If we put God's desires at the center of our planning, we won't be disappointed. Life is short, no matter how long we live, and no one knows the length of his or her life. So don't be deceived into thinking that you have lots of time remaining to live for Christ, to enjoy your loved ones, to do what you know you should do. Live for God today. And then no matter when your life ends, you will have fulfilled God's plan for you. Here's another scripture about the brevity of life, and it's from Psalms chapter 39. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you, at best. Each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy brushing and all of our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Once again, life is short, no matter how long we live. If we have something important that we want to do, we must not put it off for a better day. Ask yourself, if I only had 6 months to live, and some people get this, they're faced with this. If I only had 6 months to live, what would I do? Would I tell someone that I love him or her? Would I deal with some undisciplined area of my life? Would I tell someone about Jesus? Because life is short. Don't neglect what is truly important. The brevity of life is throughout the Bible, but it's specifically throughout the books of Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. But Jesus also spoke about the brevity of life. In fact, I'm going to highlight some verses in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus tells this story. He said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Well, then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. I'll sit back and say to myself, friend, you have stored enough away for years to come. Now then, take it easy. Eat, sounds good to me. Drink and be merry. But we know that's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message of God, is it? In fact, let me interject before I finish the scripture there, the story. God doesn't say, get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. starting with verse 20 and finishing Jesus' story. And again, after the man said, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. And then who will get everything you worked for? And Jesus finishes with this comment. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Ironically, many people spend much time securing their lives on earth, which we need to, but they give little or no thought to where they will spend eternity. Amassing riches and busily accomplishing worldly tasks makes no difference in eternity. Few people understand that their only hope is ultimately in the Lord. Life is short, better enjoy it. Eternity is long, better prepare for it. Here's another scripture about brevity of life from Psalm 39. It says, our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. And then let's read what Solomon wrote, and again in the book of Ecclesiastes. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. There's no use arguing with God about your destiny. The more words you speak, the less they mean. So what good are they? In the few days of our meaningless lives, who knows how our days can best be spent? Our lives are like a shadow. Who can tell what will happen on this earth after we are gone? I got an idea. Let's don't ever hire King Solomon to be a motivational speaker. Okay, kind of gets a little depressing. All of Ecclesiastes can be a little depressing. But when Solomon ascended to the throne to be king, he sought after God, and then God gave him the opportunity to ask for anything he wanted. Now, can you imagine that? A blank check from God? Solomon unselfishly asked God for the wisdom he would need to rule God's people justly. And guess what? God gave him all the wisdom that there was to give and wealth besides. There's nothing wrong with wealth, just in the right perspective. In fact, the Bible says this in 1 Kings, King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on earth. God knows and directs everything that happens, and he is in complete control of our lives, even though at times it may not seem like it. How foolish it is for us to argue with our Creator, who knows us completely, and he can see the future. Solomon is stating the profound truth that no one can predict the future. The only one who really knows what will happen after we're gone is God. Because no human knows the future, we should not neglect to live each day to the fullest. Solomon is arguing against the notion that human beings can take charge of their own destinies. In all of our plans, we should look up to God, not just look ahead to the future. Finally, here's one last scripture regarding the brevity of life, and we find it in the book of Job. It's verses 1 and 2 and then verse 5. He says, how frail is humanity? How short is life? How full of trouble? We blossom like a flower and then wither, like a passing shadow, and we quickly disappear. You have decided, he's talking about God, you have decided the length of our lives. You know how many months we will live. We are not given 1 minute longer. Life is brief. Life is full of trouble. Sometimes sickness, loneliness, disappointment, and even death come into our lives. Came into Job's life. If you remember the story about him, he lost everything and had no fault of his own. Some understand Job to say that life was not fair, but that even in his gloom, he hoped for the resurrection of the dead. And since this is true, because Christ resurrected from the dead, then Job understood the one truth that could put his suffering, and if you're suffering, or you know someone who's suffering, could put it in their perspective too. You see, God's solution to believers who live in a world that's unfair is to guarantee life with him forever. Your life may be unfair for all this amount of time, but imagine eternity with God himself, with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, forever in a perfect world. No matter how unfair your present world seems, God offers the hope of being in his presence eternally. And so the question to finish with today is, have you accepted that offer? During your lifetime, have you accepted this offer at any point? Answering this question is how we're going to end the teaching today. Have you accepted the Lord's offer, the Heavenly Father's offer, to accept his Son Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I believe most of you already have. And if you have, then the brevity of our current life is put into perspective of eternal life with God and with all of our loved ones who've gone on before us who accepted Christ as their Savior. But if you have not taken this step, today is yet another opportunity. I've been at this church 9.5 years, I think. Come May, it'll be 10 years. I don't think you've ever seen me beg people to come to the altar to get saved. I even tell you, I said, if the Holy Spirit moves you as you're driving away from here to your home or out to eat, and the Lord is impressing on you that I have not done this, I have not accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's where you get saved. Or maybe it's while you're going down for bed tonight, or maybe when you're at work tomorrow. So it can be done anyway. Anytime, as long as the Holy Spirit's moving on you and kind of urging you to do this. As a pastor, I will not force salvation on you, nor will God. I won't cause you to fear what will happen if you don't get saved. I won't make you feel guilty. But what I will do is, as often as possible, I'll give you the opportunity. I'll remind you that this opportunity exists. God won't force anyone either, because he created all of us, starting with Adam and Eve, with free will. And he's giving them options, and he's giving them choices. He will not make you follow him. He will not make you love him. He will not make you believe in him. But he will give you opportunities. And today is another one of those that God is giving. And he'll continue to give opportunities until that last grain of sand falls. To finish, I'll say it one more time. Life is short, better enjoy it. Let's have fun. I like to have fun. But let's remember that eternity is long, and let's be prepared for it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us yet another opportunity today. I'm thankful for those who have said yes in the past, and I'm thankful for those who will say yes today, or yes in the days to come. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now I always like to end with this. Go and be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Amen.
There's punch in the back.
Oh, there's punch and cookies in the back. He's speaking my language.